Today, actually, we're going to be starting a brand new series. It's a four-week series. So it's a little shorter than sometimes we do, but the name of the series is Below the Surface. And I'm excited to share it with you. It's kind of one of those messages that honestly, there's a little bit of trepidation to share it because I know exactly kind of where we're going, and you don't. So anyway, no woos on that. Okay, great. Yeah, I'm starting to figure this out a little bit. Not that I didn't already. Anyway, you know, and because here's the deal. As we look at this series, and here's really kind of the idea and kind of where we're going. We're going to be looking at some and addressing some patterns, some behaviors, some habits, some things that can kind of surface when things get hard. I remember my grandfather looking at me and saying, he would say things like this. He'd say, Aaron, when the grapes are squeezed, we really see what's inside. And in a lot of ways in our lives, sometimes we can be good at hiding things. We can be good at kind of dealing with things in maybe our own way, but when the pressure comes and when the stress comes, what is below the surface is normally going to come up. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm only going to speak for me. Sometimes when those things happen, some ugly things come out. Some things that I'm not real proud of come out. You know, maybe not massively huge things, but things that quite honestly aren't Christ-like and not really what God would want me to be and as a husband, as a father, or as a pastor, or any areas of my life. And here's what I truly believe. And I know that for some of us, as we're looking at these things, this is going to be like, okay, how can I find a vacation spot for the next couple of weeks so I don't have to deal with these things? But here's truly, truly what I believe, and I mean this sincerely. I truly believe the reason why God is wanting this message to be shared is because he truly desires to do some healing and to bring some wholeness. You see, I think you need to understand this. Our Father is so good that he's not okay in a lot of ways with you walking through this life with things in your life that he wants to heal. Now, what's great about what God does, I guess, maybe this is great, maybe it's not, I don't know, is he doesn't force healing on you. He doesn't force wholeness on you. But you need to understand, and I mean this as nicely as I can put it, if you are walking around without wholeness and healing in your life, it's not God's fault. Because it is available to you. Now, listen, sometimes, and we need to talk about this, because sometimes we make this mistake, okay? If I brought somebody up here today, and I'd say, listen, this is a horrible type of situation. This person is suffering with some type of a cancer, okay? Now, we believe in this church that God could heal that person immediately. We could lay our hands on that individual, and every single cancer cell God could heal in that moment. And we pray for that. We desire God to do those types of things, and I believe God can do those types of things. But let's be honest, most of the time, God heals us in stages. He heals us maybe with a chemotherapy or something of that nature. It takes some time, okay? When I talk about healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing, mental healing, sometimes, and it's great when he does, it's a moment. It's a snap of the fingers, and God heals that place. Other times, God uses a process. And so sometimes in this series, you're going to have to understand, yes, there may be moments where God heals immediately, but other times God wants to use a process in our hearts, in our lives, to do something much greater than we could even understand that he wants to do in our hearts, in our lives. So whether God chooses to heal us in a moment or God chooses to heal us over a journey, there is still wholeness and healing available to you. And I truly believe that if you will open your heart to that, that God is going to do some mighty, mighty works through this series. I truly want that for you. I know that God wants that for you as well. Let's pray as we really kind of get into this series. Father, we love you and we thank you. God, you're so good. And God, I pray that as we look at some of these things, God, as we kind of open this series up, God, I pray that you would help us to understand that there may be areas in our hearts and our lives, some things that are there that maybe we're not even aware of that you desire to do some great things in and some bring some wholeness, some healing. And God, I pray that this would be one of the first steps towards that over the next several weeks. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, Amen. This morning, as we kind of jump into this, this is going to definitely be one of those series that are going to build on each other. And so this is going to be more of an intro kind of to the entire series over the next couple weeks. And I want to encourage you to be here if you're not able to be here for one of these messages, because again, they're really going to build on each other. You know, obviously we have online and things like that. So just wanted to make sure that you were kind of aware of that. So again, the title of the series is the idea of below the surface. When I was younger, I think it was in college, actually, my grandparents bought one of those fifth wheels, I think they called it, a travel trailer, you know, basically, and they would go down and they would pull the trailer to a camping spot on a lake back in Missouri where I grew up. And man, it was some of the greatest memories I have of my grandparents. We would, you know, sleep in, and then I'd wake up, of course, and Grandpa would be in the kitchen and making biscuits and gravy and all that sort of great stuff. And we would go out in the lake and go fishing and do all sorts of different things. And I remember one time we went, and Grandpa said, "Aaron, we're going to go jug fishing." Now, I don't know if that's the actual, like, real terminology for this, but that's what my grandpa said. So guess what? It's called jug fishing. That's how it works in my house. And so basically, I said, "Grandpa, what's jug fishing? I've never gone jug fishing before." And so he goes into one of the little areas of the camper. He pulls out basically two or three milk jugs. You know, basically, you go get your milk in plastic milk jugs. And he basically pulls it out and he says, this is a jug fishing lure. And I said, "Okay, what's this going to happen?" And he says, "Well, basically, there's a string attached to the jug. And we're going to basically bait the hook. And we're going to go put it out in the middle of the lake. And we're just going to leave it." And for a guy that really isn't much of a fisherman, mainly because the boredom aspect of it, I'm like, this is my type of fishing. Like, I can leave it, set it, and forget it, you know, and then go off and do something more exciting and then come back and see if anything's on the hook. So that's what we did. We got into our little boat. We went out to the middle of the lake and we baited our hook. We got it all set up. We left our jug and off we went. So the day went on, and I'm enjoying myself and having a great time, not even thinking about the jug. And finally, Grandpa says, "All right, it's time to go see if we caught anything on our jug line." And I said, "Okay, Grandpa, let's go." So we go out there, and there's the jug. Now, I hadn't really paid attention to the fact that the jug did not stay in the same place. Now, you would have thought I had kind of come up with the realization that probably that meant there was something on said jug line, but I wasn't real bright, still not. Figured maybe the wind blew it. I don't know. So we go out there, and I grab the jug, and Grandpa says, "Okay, start, you know, pulling it in." And I'm going, "Okay, it's going to be great." And I start pulling it in and pulling it in and pulling it in. It's a really down there deep. So I start pulling it in, and all of a sudden, and it's a lake, pretty one of those, you know, kind of Missouri lakes, so it's kind of dirty looking. Not because there's something in it, just because of the mud. And so I'm pulling it up, and so it's dark. You can't really see anything. And so I'm getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And then just as about it ready to break the surface, I literally hear this. Now, I don't care who you are. That's scary. Don't act like it's not scary to you, okay?
"Oh, I'm a fisherman. It wouldn't scare."
It scared me half to death. And I'm like, I just freeze. Because on that line, and if you don't know what this is, you Google it. Don't Google it now. Somebody's like, "Ugh." There was an alligator gar on that line. Now, if you don't know what an alligator gar is, imagine about, you know, and this one actually, when we actually pulled it up and got it out, it was about 4 feet long. It basically has a snout like an alligator with teeth. And I look at Grandpa, and he looks at me, and I say, "I'm done fishing. I'm not pulling that thing in the boat. I'm not doing anything." Like this scared me half to death. And I'm just like, "No, Grandpa, I don't care that you're in your 70s. You're pulling that thing up. I'm not touching it." And so he reaches over, and he pulls the thing. And of course, Grandpa, you gotta love Grandpas. Pull it up, and he takes it, and he kind of goes, whack! And again, he just kept pulling. And I didn't know how big, I mean, you know, I'm thinking we're going to get a bass. We're going to get something small. And it just kept growing as it came out of the water. We have a picture of Grandpa holding it up. Grandpa was about my size. And basically, it literally is from the lake to Grandpa's, you know, head. It's got to be 4 or 5 feet. It was huge. He takes it, flops it under the boat. I'm getting as far away from the gar as I possibly can. It's still hissing. You know, sometimes what we find is, we don't really know what's beneath the surface, I don't think I'm ever going to swim in a lake again because of what might be hiding in there. You know, people are like, do you like the mountains? Do you like the ocean? No, I like the mountains. Why? Because I can see most things, you know. You go into the ocean, you don't know what's beneath the surface. And for a lot of us, we may not like to admit it. We may not like to talk about it. But there's some alligator gars in our lives. And every once in a while, somebody does something or something happens, something maybe triggers us or whatever it might be, and something takes place, and all of a sudden that gar comes up and it starts hissing and it starts snapping. And it's not easy to deal with because it's below the surface. It's kind of there where we try to keep it hidden, but it's just something that we all sometimes deal with. In fact, looking at this first scripture that we're going to look at, it makes me feel good to know that there's other people in this world besides us that deal with this. And one of those people that wrote most of the New Testament is Paul. Listen to what Paul writes in Romans 7. We're going to look at verse 15, then we're going to jump as he kind of expounds a little bit even more on it in verse 18 and 19. This is what Paul writes. He says, I don't really understand myself. Ever been there? I really don't understand myself. For what I want to do, where I want to do what is right. I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I do what I hate. Listen, he continues on. He says, I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. You see, sometimes the gars in our lives, those alligator gars, you know, we know we don't want to pull them into the boat. We know we don't want to deal with them. We know that in a lot of ways we want to handle things differently. I mean, how many times have we done something where something comes from below the surface when we don't really even know what's happening, and then we kind of take a step back or maybe a day later, an hour later, and we go, man, I can't believe I responded that way. I can't believe I handled it that way. I can't believe I did something like that. Listen, if you're like me and you experience those things, Paul's right there with us. And here's the thing. There's going to be an answer at the end of the service, but we got to get there first. But here's the deal we need to understand. If these statements were true for Paul and true for us, what do we do with this and how do we bring it before the Lord? Like, how do we really deal with this situation? Because I think if we're honest, we all deal with these things. Maybe your gars are smaller than mine. But I think for most of us, there are alligator gars beneath the surface that are willing to come up and are coming up, and the teeth are shown and the hissing comes. What do we do with this? Because here's what I truly believe. God wants to deal with those things in your heart and in your life. He wants to pull those things up at times that are below the surface, not because he's mean, not because he's cruel, not because of those things that sometimes we put on God, but because he truly wants to bring some wholeness and some healing into our lives. And Paul's openness and his willingness to just be open and honest and transparent with us all the way back as he's writing to the book of Romans should be an encouragement to us. Because here's what we need to remember. Paul's writing this because he does know an answer. And we'll get to that in a minute. But before we do, let's dive a little bit deeper here. Let's start to kind of look a little bit more into what sometimes can be below the surface. To do that this morning, we're going to do a character study. We're going to look at a character in the Bible that can kind of help us to see a little bit sometimes what happens in our own hearts and in our own lives when it comes to these types of things. We're going to look at a man named Haman. Haman is a central character in the book of Esther. Some of you know about Esther and those types of things, but here's what we're going to do. We're actually going to go backwards. We're going to reverse engineer a character study of Haman and look at his life to figure out a little bit more what was truly going on beneath the surface in his life. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Esther a lot today. So we're going to start in Esther 3. We'll be pretty much in Esther 3 as we do this character study. But again, we're going to start further, you know, in Esther 3, and then we're going to basically go back through it. We're going to actually start at the last verse in Esther 3 and then kind of re-engineer or reverse engineer his heart and his life. So again, Esther 3:15, it'll be up on the screen. If you don't have your Bibles with you. Here it says, at the king's command, the decree went out by swift messengers, and it was also proclaimed in the fortress of Susa. Then the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Susa fell into confusion. So I want to kind of remember, this is the end of the story as far as this section of the story. And so basically the king and Haman, man, they're relaxed, they're cool, they're sitting down to have a drink. But everybody else is in confusion. Everybody is sitting there going, what in the world is going on? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I respond to situations and circumstances in ways that are hopefully, you know, not hopefully what I usually do, I kind of hope there's a little bit of confusion. I hope there's like, really, that's not who Aaron is. Why do you do it that way? And here's the thing for me. A lot of times when I do something like that, I go, what just happened and why? Why did I just do that? A lot of times when things that are below the surface come to the surface, there can be some confusion. What I desire for us to do today is to lose the confusion, to understand a little bit more about who we are as far as these areas in our lives. But here's the deal. A lot of times, when it's all said and done, we start in a place of confusion. So now let's go back a little bit. Let's go now to Esther 3:13, and let's look at what's going on. Let's kind of again, re-engineer the story. It says, dispatches were sent by swift messengers into all the provinces of the empire, giving the order that all Jews, young and old, including women and children, must be killed, slaughtered, and annihilated on a single day. This was scheduled to happen on March 7th of the next year. The property of the Jews would be given to those who killed them. Okay, what just happened here? I mean, now we understand the idea of a little bit of confusion, because this was the message that brought all the people into confusion. This is genocide, folks. I mean, sometimes we read the Bible and we kind of like, we got to make it sound a little nicer than it is. This is genocide. How in the world do we get to genocide? I mean, seriously, like what is going on in this man's heart that is bringing us to this place, to where he has basically, and we'll see in a minute, manipulated the king into annihilating an entire group of people. And he's so cool with it that at the end of the story, as far as this chapter goes, he's sitting down to have a drink. This is major stuff. What in the world happened here? Now, again, most of us maybe know the story of Esther. We know kind of how this takes place. But if you don't, or if you can maybe take a pause moment and just go, listen, let's look at this in a little different way. All of a sudden, you kind of go, whoa. There's a journey this guy went on. How in the world did he get here? Well, let's keep looking. Let's keep reading. Let's now look at Esther 3. We're going to look at verses 8 and 9. It says, then Haman approached King Xerxes and said, there is a certain race of people scattered through all the province of your empire who keep themselves separate from everyone else. Their laws are different from those of any other people, and they refuse to obey the laws of the king. So it is not in the king's interest to let them live. If it please the king, issue a decree that they be destroyed. And then he goes all lobbyist on him. And I'll give 10,000 large sacks of silver to the government administrators to be deposited into the royal treasury. I mean, you would talk about a guy's putting his money where his mouth is. I mean, he basically is gone to the king and basically says, hey, listen, this group here, man, they're no good. Man, they just cause problems. They don't obey your laws. Listen, let's get rid of them. Let's just wipe them out. And just so you know, to make this happen, because I believe in this so much, I'll give money, a lot of money, to make this happen. Then you read that story this way. You kind of step away from the story that so many of us know. And a question just comes to my mind. What is going on below the surface in Haman's life, his heart, and emotions that he has such disdain and contempt for the Jewish people in this story? Like, how does somebody get here? I mean, let's just be honest for a second. I don't want to believe it. I can't believe it. Somebody wakes up one morning and goes, oh, boy, what a beautiful day. I think I'm going to go have a cup of coffee and maybe a little genocide on the side. I mean, I don't want to believe that. Maybe somebody does. But how did Haman get here? How did he get to this place? Because here's the thing. Now you go, now, Aaron, listen, don't try to compare me to this guy. And I'm not trying to compare you or me to this guy, because I don't believe any of us are sitting there thinking about, you know, genocide or taking someone out physically. But let's remember what Jesus told us. And it's not an easy thing to hear. He said, if you think in your heart against someone, you've murdered them. You know, it's real easy for us to compare. Well, I'm not like that. I'm not as bad as this person. I'm not as bad as that person. We've talked about this before. We're not measured by each other. And even though this man obviously had some serious, serious heart issues, sometimes we can too. Sometimes there can be places in our hearts, in our lives, where yes, we're not going to this extreme, but it's still there. And so even in the middle of this message, I'm going to ask a question that's not going to be easy for you to answer. I'm going to ask a question not because I'm trying to be mean or pull up things. It's truly because I believe with everything in me that God wants to do a complete healing in your heart. But we have to ask, where is there disdain, contempt, or bitterness living in our hearts that sometimes surface in ways that we never expected? Because here's what I've learned, at least for me. Yeah, I've never gone to genocide, but if I allow these things to build in my heart, bitterness, anger, resentment, unfulfilled expectations, all these types of things that can come and enter my heart, man, they will surface in ways I never believed I could do. You know, sometimes when I sit there and I'll go, Aaron, I don't even recognize myself. Maybe you're like that too. And the best way that I have found to kind of bring this in a way that will make us all very aware, because we deal with this almost every single day, is the idea of what is going to be popping up on your screen behind me right now. A pothole. Aren't potholes wonderful? If you said yes, you got issues. And here's the deal. You got to remember something. I have spent the majority of my life driving in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You say, Aaron, why does that matter? Simple. It doesn't rain there. It very rarely freezes there. I know a little bit how potholes form, and a lot of it is basically moisture gets down into the cracks, it freezes, it expands, and it causes issues. And here's what else I learned moving here, is that there's something weird about the soil here. I don't know exactly what it is. Somebody told me once, and I kind of acted like I understood and didn't get it at all. Do that a lot. That you guys have some kind of, we do. I guess I can say we now. I've been here long enough. We have some soil that is unstable. And because of that, like, we can't build skyscrapers or big buildings because everything is unstable. And I'm assuming that causes, obviously, a lot of potholes. But I have never been in a place in my life that has as many potholes as this area, and everybody says, you know, says amen, because you know it's true. And it's what's interesting about a pothole is we see this one here, and I kind of picked this one because there's water in it. Here's the deal. You have no idea how deep that is. Now you go, oh, it's maybe just a couple inches long. Nope, you don't know. You see, a pothole can hide a lot of things. I've driven over potholes that I'm like, no big deal, and my wheel has been, you know, knocks off, you know, and it's flying down the road. I've hit some, and I'm going, I'm literally waiting for the car. You hit that one, boom! And you're literally waiting for that side of the car just to go, you know, because all the air is out of your tire. There's a lot of potholes in our lives. And here's the thing. We kind of know a little bit about what causes a pothole. We know in our own heart sometimes maybe what there are. But the thing about a pothole that we need to understand is below the surface of the pothole, there are things going on that we cannot see. We just see the symptom of a greater problem. You get it? We just see the symptom of a greater problem. You see, whether it's because the water got down there, froze, expanded, or whatever, or whether it's literally an area of unstable soil, we don't truly know. All we can see is the symptom. All we can see is the thing that is there for us. We don't know truly what is going on below the surface. It's a pothole. And maybe it's a little thing. Or maybe it's something much, much bigger. You see, what we've seen so far in Haman's life is a pothole. Now listen, it's a pretty big pothole. In fact, we've seen something we're going to get to in just a minute. But we're seeing a symptom of something deeper. We're seeing a symptom of something greater. Let's try to figure out what that is. Look at Esther 3, verses 2 and 6. A little longer portion here, but we need to get this. It says, all the king's officials, just so you know, Haman was like the king's right-hand man, okay? So he's like his right-hand man. So all the king's officials would bow down before Haman to show him respect whenever he passed by, for so the king had commanded. But Mordecai refused to bow down or show him respect. Then the palace officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why are you disobeying the king's command?" They spoke to him day after day, but still he refused to comply with the order. So they spoke to Haman about this to see if he would tolerate Mordecai's conduct, since Mordecai had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not bow down or show him respect, check this out, he was filled with rage. He had learned of Mordecai's nationality, so he decided it was not enough to lay hands on Mordecai alone. Instead, he looked for a way to destroy all the Jews throughout the entire empire of Xerxes. You see, what we sometimes need to understand is these potholes in our lives, we can look at them and go, you know, not really that big of a deal. Now, here's the deal. You take a step back and you kind of look at this story. Sure, I can understand a little bit where, you know, Haman was a little upset. He's used to being treated in a certain way. He's used to being respected in a certain way. And here's this one guy who's basically saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I can kind of understand more. Now, I don't agree, obviously, with what he did or how he handled it, but I kind of understand a little bit. Like, you know, you kind of expect a certain level of respect or certain things like that. And here's the deal. Like, he could have dealt with it then. He could have said, you know what? Here's the deal. Every other king's official will bow down to me except this one guy. You know what? I don't have to worry about him. I don't have to let him bother me. If he doesn't want to do it, fine. I got 100 other guys that are. He's just not even that important. He could have dealt with the pothole immediately, but he doesn't. He didn't deal with it. He didn't really allow healing and wholeness to come in. Because here's the deal. A lot of times we think potholes don't matter. A lot of times we look at the potholes in our own life and we say, I don't have to deal with that. I'm going to push it away. And in fact, in the coming weeks, we're going to look at some of the ways that we try to deal incorrectly with the potholes in our lives. But here, as we get to intro this series, I want you to understand why this is so important. Because sometimes the potholes in our lives can actually turn into something different. They actually can turn into sinkholes. That's a big one. You go, Aaron, is it really matter? Yeah, it can really, really matter. Because when we don't allow God to heal us, when we don't allow God to bring wholeness into our lives, this can be spiritually, emotionally, mentally speaking, the result. A sinkhole that is so big it can swallow a whole car. And I have seen people that I love, people in this church, people in other churches, people not in these churches that I love and care for, and I've seen their lives, and I've seen potholes, and I'm like, you need to let God heal that. You need to let God work in that. You need to let God do something. And people refuse, and then they come up, and all of a sudden there's a sinkhole that they never expected because they didn't really understand what was going on beneath the surface. So many of us need to understand that. You see, so many of us think that we can deal with these things on our own or deal with them in different ways. And then all of a sudden, the ground opens up beneath us and swallows us whole. And I believe with everything in my heart that that's not what God has for us. It's not what God has for you. In Haman's life, a pothole became a major sinkhole. And if you know the story, it eventually destroyed him and those around him. So these are things that are major that we need to deal with. So what can cause potholes and sinkholes in our lives? You know, I just put down a few. There's a lot more here, but just a couple things. Number one, past experiences. Past things that we've gone through, things that we don't always understand this. We've talked about this before. Because of our past experiences, a lot of us will wear kind of almost like sunglasses in our lives. We don't understand the lenses that we're looking through. You know, I've been to the store. You know, you've been to the store, maybe have a bunch of sunglasses, and they have some that are dark, some that are blue, some that are pink, some that are red. I mean, I grew up with the phrase, you know, looking through the world through rose-colored glasses. We all, because of our past experiences at times, put on those lenses and see people and situations and circumstances, even God sometimes, through those lenses of our past experiences, whether they're good or bad. But we do that pretty much every day. But not only that, hurts can do it. Some that are small, some that are major. Some that are little, some that we kind of begin to deal with, some that we never do, and they grow and they grow and they grow and become more and more problems and more potholes and sinkholes in our lives. Number three is sinful patterns. You know, sometimes we love to kind of push the blame and push the buck, and, you know, it's this person's fault, it's my husband's fault, it's my kid's fault, it's my parents' fault, it's my boss's fault. But a lot of times we have to really remember that we're responsible for ourselves. And a lot of times the things that we do, the sinful patterns or habits that we kind of bring into our lives, can really cause some issues in our lives. Last one I mentioned, and again, there's a lot more here, just disappointments. When we feel like something should have happened that didn't happen. And I found that disappointments can be a lot with people, but a lot of times people struggle with disappointments when it comes to God. You know, they're disappointed with God. God, you didn't heal this person. God, you didn't help me here. God, I didn't feel this or that or whatever it might be. And sometimes we deal with those things. And because of those disappointments that come, they really can cause potholes. And then eventually, if we don't deal with them and allow God to work in our hearts and heal us, they can ultimately cause some major sinkholes in our lives. So we need to ask the question. Again, as we lay the groundwork for this entire series, what are the potholes in your life? What are the things in your heart and your life that you can identify? And here's the deal. Some of you, as I said those words, whether you wanted to or not, something immediately popped in. A person popped in. A situation popped in. A time in your life or a season of your life popped in. Like, most of us are very aware of our potholes. We just choose not to deal with them. We choose to not bring those things to the Lord and allow Him to heal. And then, you know, and here's the thing. Not every pothole will become a sinkhole, thankfully. Thankfully. But here's the deal. When they do, sinkholes can really, really majorly destroy things. And I truly believe that even though our lives are going to have potholes in it, that I got some really, and some sinkholes even, I got some really, really good news. Yeah, I got some amazing news. Because here's the deal. Paul, as he's kind of, we go back now to Romans 7, and he's kind of talking about all the things that he wishes he would do, that he doesn't do, and all these things. Here's the good news. Here's what you need to understand. And listen, I don't care how big or how small your pothole or your sinkhole is. Okay? You say, Aaron, my sinkhole is too big. Don't believe it. Don't listen to that lie from the enemy. Because here's the deal. Here's what you need to understand. God's love and grace is more than enough to fill the potholes and the sinkholes in our lives. More than enough. You say, Aaron, you don't know my sinkhole. You're right. I don't. But God does. And He's more than enough. His love and His grace is more than enough. Not like, oh boy, He's just getting that last shovel of asphalt to cover it up. No. Like, He's got 45 other trucks waiting even after your sinkhole's filled up. That's how good He is. That's how great He is. That's how awesome His love and His grace is for you. And don't you dare listen to that lie that some of you are listening to right now that's saying, oh no, Aaron, not me. God wouldn't do that for me. Yes, He would. And He wants to do it for you. You say, it's too big, it's too great, I've dealt with it too long. Exactly. There's only one person that can deal with it. There's only one person that can handle it. Because a lot of times in our lives, we spend a lot of time on the road maintenance crew of our hearts and our lives. And we sit there and we go, oh, there's a pothole. How am I going to deal with it? Oh, I'll deal with it in this way. I'll deal with it in that way. I'll go get one of those big metal plates. You know, we've seen those on the road, and we'll put that down over it. We'll go different ways. We'll try not to deal with it. We'll try to imagine it doesn't exist. Again, we'll get into this in the coming weeks. But here's Paul's answer. Hear what Paul truly understands. As we go back now to Romans, listen to what he says, Romans 7, verse 21 through 25. I have discovered. Listen, all of us need to discover these things. We need to discover, just like Paul, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me. It is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Look, verse 24. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Been there? I know I have. But listen to what Paul says in verse 25. Thank God. The answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, you mark in your Bible, mark that. Put it on a sticky note. Stick it on your car. Stick it on your mirror. Stick it on your forehead. I don't care. Read it every day. The answer is Jesus Christ. It's not more money. It's not a better relationship. It's not this. It's not that. It's Jesus every single time. Because you can't do this alone. You weren't created to do it alone. Paul says, I can't do it alone. We need the answer, which is Jesus. So he says, so you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. The answer to this is Jesus. It's not trying to fill them in on your own. It's not trying to figure out the next person that can come and help you fill it in on your own. It's allowing Jesus to do what only he can do, because he is truly the answer. He's truly the answer. Romans 5:20. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But check this out. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. You go, Aaron, my sinkhole's too big. My pothole's too big. Listen, you know what God is saying here? He's saying, no matter how big your pothole is, my grace is sufficient. My love is sufficient. I think the King James, the New King James, whatever, says, when sin abounds, grace more so abounds, or something like that. I mean, that's a great way to say it. So no matter what we're dealing with, no matter how we're experiencing the potholes and the sinkholes, the good news is the answer is Jesus, and the good news is he's more than enough. No matter what we're dealing with, no matter what we experience. Another one in Romans 8. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power that leads to death. You know what the good news is? Real simple. The answer is Jesus. His grace is enough, and we can find freedom in him. And I didn't even put that in your notes. But that's what this is saying. No matter how big your sinkhole is, no matter how many potholes you have in your heart and in your life, God can do it. God can do great and mighty things in your heart and your life. So you say, Aaron, okay, what do we do here? What do we do with this? You know, it's real simple. It doesn't have to be hard. We just simply do this. We invite God to work on what is below the surface in our life. We invite God to come and deal with the stuff. We invite him to come into those places that are difficult and hard. Those potholes, even those sinkholes. Because here's the deal. Whether you like to admit this or not, it's fine. You don't have to. I'll admit it about myself. The same sinful nature that Haman had is the same sinful nature I have. Yeah, we love to look at Scripture. We love to look at people, other people in the Bible, out of the Bible, people in this church, people outside this church, pastors here, this pastor's there, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And boy, we love to do the comparison game, don't we? Boy, I'm so glad I'm not like that person. You know, it's interesting that Jesus talks about this guy who goes to the temple and basically he's praying there, and he's basically saying, oh God, literally, this is what he's saying, oh God, I'm so glad I'm not as bad as everybody else. I'm so glad that I'm not like this person here. And basically, long story short, Jesus says in so many different ways and so many different avenues, good Lord, you missed it. That guy doesn't have a clue. You know, when we take our lives and we begin to look at others and say, well, at least I'm not as bad as Haman. Listen, we are only delaying the healing that God desires to do in us. Because for some of us, we refuse to invite God in because we refuse to acknowledge the fact that we have potholes and sinkholes in our hearts and in our lives. I've known people that have had potholes and sinkholes for 50 plus years. I know sometimes in my life, there's been things that have been there that, yeah, here's the thing about a pothole. It always starts kind of small, doesn't it? You know, maybe it's just a little piece of the asphalt that pops off. And listen, I don't know much about asphalt. I don't know much about construction. I don't know much about roads. And maybe you know a lot more than I do. So if I say this wrong, I'm sorry. But I just have this crazy assumption that once the hole starts, if it started because water got in and expanded, well, now the crack's a lot bigger. So now when it rains or snows, there's a lot more water that can get in there. And now all of a sudden, the crack that started right here has now grown to this amount. Well, now instead of water getting in here, now water can get in here, and then it grows, and then it grows, and then it grows, and then it grows, and all of a sudden, there's a car in the middle of a sinkhole. And some of you are in different places of that situation. And so no matter if your pothole's this big, or it's the biggest as a city block, God's love and God's grace is enough to fill it. You know, one of the things as a pastor that I get to experience that is, and I'm just going to be honest, and I don't mean this as a negative, like good and bad, okay? Is people will come to me and share the struggles that they're having in their lives. And I welcome that. I that's not a problem. But at the same time, it can be so hard because I kind of take that on myself because I so desperately want God to heal. And I know that God has the ability to heal. I know that God is willing to heal. And I know that sometimes, as much as I would love for God just to snap his fingers and heal you and heal your heart, I also know that sometimes that's a journey that he takes us on. But what can sometimes really just be really hard for me and really difficult, and it's really hard because I do it too, is when we refuse to invite Jesus into those places. When we think maybe it's not big enough. You know, God's got all these other things to deal with. It's my little issue here is not worth the time. Or maybe it's on the other end of the spectrum. God is just too big. Yeah, I should have dealt with it 20 years ago, and I never did. And now look at it. You know, so many of us, because of our potholes and our sinkholes, we kind of make that our address. It's where we live. And like human beings, we can kind of begin to identify who we are by where we live. You think about it. Okay? You go on a trip. Go visit somebody else or go on a vacation or something, and you meet somebody new. You know what you typically, listen, think about this. You know what you typically will eventually tell them? Where you're from. Now, I mean, you may not say Broomfield or Westminster or Aurora or whatever. You usually say, well, I'm from Denver. Maybe you get real specific and say I'm from, you know, Northwest Denver or Northern Denver or whatever. Or at the minimum, you'll usually say, I'm from Colorado. We identify who we are by where we live and where we're from. And then we begin to make assumptions about people. Oh, you must like the mountains. Oh, you must like this or that. Oh, you're from Florida. You must like the beach or you're like warmer weather or whatever it might be. And we tend to do that in our lives. We tend to look at our hearts and our lives. We see the potholes. We see the things. And we kind of make residence there. Kind of make it our address. We live at 101 Bitterness Avenue. We live at 202 Hurt Street. We live at 303 Painful Memory Lane. And we identify us through that, almost to the point where it becomes greater as an identifying part of our heart than the fact that we belong to Jesus. You see, how do you know, Aaron, that this issue, maybe that as a pothole has become a sinkhole? It's simple. You now identify yourself with your pain. You identify yourself. You can't have a conversation without it coming up again and again and again. Because now it's who you are. Can I give you a little secret? That is not who you are. You don't belong on that street. You don't belong in that house. You belong with the King. You belong there. If you want to get real biblical, you belong in a garden, walking with Jesus, talking with Him. But so many of us, live in homes that we were never designed for us to live in. And man, it can get so difficult and so hard. Listen, we're almost proud of it. We want to talk about all the people that have hurt us instead of talking about all the healing that God can do. Well, you know, I would do this or I would do that, but you know, back in, 73, somebody hurt me. I had this bad experience. And I'm not trying to belittle your pain, and I'm not trying to belittle the experience. I'm trying to elevate the goodness of our God and His ability to heal that place in your heart and bring you wholeness again. So many of us are walking wounded when we don't have to be. So many of us are living in homes that were never designed for us because we have gotten to that place where the sinkhole or the pothole has never been dealt with. And maybe it became a sinkhole, maybe it didn't, but the same truth is there every time we hit it over and over and over again. Listen, I truly believe this. God wants to do some deep down healing and wholeness over these next 4 weeks. Don't miss it. How do you not miss it? I think it's real simple. First, we acknowledge the potholes. We acknowledge the sinkholes. And we acknowledge that on our own, we cannot deal with them. They're too big. They're too deep. They're too painful. They're too problematic. And in that moment, we also realize that's okay, that we can't deal with them because we have a God that can. And we begin to invite Him into that place. Not generally, specifically. God, my mother has hurt me. My mother has said things to me that have hurt my heart. And God, I need You to come in and heal it. My father beat me. He did things he never should have done to me. God, I need You to come and heal my heart. I need to be free from this. Not, oh God, when you have the time. Because God knows you. He knows your heart and He wants to heal it. And heal it completely. Oh no, God wouldn't do that for me. Take your lie and get it out of here. Because that's just not true. I don't care what it is. God can heal it. Invite Him into it. And listen, as I said from the beginning, I don't know how He'll heal it. I don't know if He'll just basically snap it or He'll take us on a journey. I'm going to tell you, just to be honest, it's probably going to be a journey. That's usually how God works in these situations because He wants to do things on the journey that you could never even imagine. But you got to invite Him into it. God's not going to say, I'm going to force you to be healed and whole. He's going to let you decide whether you want it or not. And listen, if you want to live at, like I said, 101 Bitter Street from now until the day you see Jesus, that's your call. Knock yourself out. I can't make you do it. If He can't make you do it, I can't make you do it. All I can do is do what He says and bring it to you and desperately desire that for you. Pray for you. But at one point or another, we have to make that call and invite Him into it. And here's what's great. When we invite him in, he'll come. We draw near to God, he draws near to us. We don't have to go, well, God, will you really? Yes, he will come. Again, I don't know how he's going to handle it. That's between you and God. But he'll come if you invite him in. Let's bow our heads. Let's focus here. Because again, I'm just going to be honest with you. This is just the beginning of this series. We're going to talk even more in depth over the next several weeks. And I encourage you to be here. I encourage you to see these things because I truly believe that even though for some of us this may be some painful stuff, there is healing on the other side. There is healing on the other side. But here's the deal. I ask the question, what are the potholes? What are the sinkholes? And again, many of you immediately, without even thinking about it, without even like having this deep discussion in your own mind, like you immediately knew exactly what those were. Maybe some of you are, there are areas that we don't even know about. We're going to look at those over the next several weeks as well, kind of allowing the Holy Spirit to maybe dive a little bit deeper into these things. Because for some of us, you know, we're kind of like Haman, you know, it's like we know what he did, but we're not quite sure why. And we're going to dig into that a little bit. But here's the deal. Whether you understand all they are or not, whether you can say, here's my five potholes, here's my two sinkholes, or you're sitting there literally in this moment going, God, I don't know if I have any potholes or sinkholes. Regardless, here's what I know. When David was dealing with stuff in his life, he would pray the prayer kind of like this, Lord, search my heart. If you find anything there that's not what you would want, bring it to me. Show me so that I can get healing and wholeness. So it's one thing to say, you know, like, oh, I don't really have anything. It's another thing to say, God, honestly, I don't know if I'm aware of anything, but God, I want you to search my heart and show me if there's something there that I don't even realize. Because we need to invite God even into those things. Give him that freedom that says, God, if there's things in my heart, there's potholes or sinkholes that I don't even know about, God, even now, I invite you into those areas. I invite you into those. Just as much as we invite into, God, we invite you into the areas that we do know about. But God knows your heart. And God can search it and bring wholeness and healing even in areas that you don't even know are there. But here's the deal. As we close, I'm just going to ask you a simple question. Will you invite God with his grace and his love, his healing power? Will you invite him into those places? Will you, even if you don't know where they are, will you invite him to search your heart and to identify maybe areas that you don't even know about? Because here's the deal. I told you earlier, this is going to grow as we kind of go over the next few weeks. This is step one. We have to identify. We have to know that there are areas that we desperately need God to come and intervene in. And when we invite him in, when we invite him into our hearts to deal with these things, he can do great and mighty things and bring only what he can do. Remember, the answer is Jesus. It's him. So this morning, as we close, as I pray with you and over you, would you pray that prayer? Will you just pray maybe specifically, again, you already know the potholes, you already know the sinkholes. You don't need to wait till the series is over. Like we can do some stuff now, okay? Don't wait. You've dealt with this long enough. Bring it to the Lord now. If you don't maybe know what it is, will you pray that God will reveal those things maybe that are there so that you can invite him into those areas? Will you do that? Because I truly believe God wants to do great things. Healing works. Some things that only he can do if you'll invite him in. If that's you, will you pray with me as I pray with you? God, we love you and we thank you. God, we're so thankful that you are a God that is present. That God, you are a God that is close. God, you're not far away. You don't look at us and basically, even as great as Jesus is, you know, death, resurrection, all those things, salvation, even it's great. Like, you don't just even do that and say, well, I'll see you later. I'll see you when you're dead. You desire to do things in our hearts and our lives today. You want to bring healing and hope and wholeness today. And so, God, if there's areas in our hearts and our lives, if there are potholes or even sinkholes, God, we invite you into those areas. We acknowledge that we can't do it on our own. In fact, we've tried to handle it on our own, and guess what? That sometimes they only get bigger, but they really never get dealt with, and there never really is true, complete wholeness and healing, because it's only you can bring that, Father, and we acknowledge that. The answer is you. And so, Father, will you come? We invite you into that place. God, if there are maybe areas, like we're kind of looking at it and we're honest and we're just going, God, I don't know if there's any area there. God, will you illuminate those things? Will you search our hearts? Maybe there's something that's been so deep and so buried, we don't even know about it. Maybe it is self-preservation. We don't even remember it. But God, you know and you see it. And we don't even always know why we respond the way we do. And it's because that thing is so deep that only you know about. So Jesus, if those are those areas, we invite you into those places as well. And Jesus, I ask in my heart, in everyone's heart here, people that are online, whatever, Father, we invite you in to begin to pour your oil and your wine, to do the healing that only you can do. And Jesus, if you want to heal in this moment, we welcome that. If you want to heal over time and over a journey, we welcome that. We just acknowledge that you're the only one that can do it. So we look to you, knowing that you will do it. Your grace and your love is sufficient for us. Father, we love you and we thank you. You're so good. You're so good. And we thank you that you desire to do this in our heart and our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So listen. I know that maybe some of you are sitting there going, okay, I kind of mentioned this earlier. I need to take a 3-week vacation from church. Don't. Okay? Because I truly believe God wants to do something absolutely life-changing for a lot of us, if we'll let him. Okay? So I'm looking forward to the next several weeks, even though for me, even personally, it's not going to be easy to deal with some of these things. But it's going to be worth it. Our God is always worth it. There is always purpose behind pain. And it's usually to bring healing and hope and wholeness to our hearts and our lives, which is going to be absolutely glorious if we'll let him. Okay? So listen, just so you know, as Pastor Sarah mentioned, there's a lot going on this week. Make sure that you're aware. Also, for those that want to get baptized, please sign up today, okay? In the foyer, there's a sheet there so we know, so we can make plans of how we want to kind of handle the baptismal, because that'll take place at the end of service next week. And also, if you are getting baptized, please be here 9:45 in my office to kind of go through things so that you're aware of what you need to know. You'll need to bring a change of clothes and a towel, okay? So bring those with you if you're going to get baptized. It's going to be a glorious Sunday, next Sunday. Baptismal Sunday is always awesome, and I'm looking forward to it. For all the Betty else, thank you so much for being here. Those who are online, we love you. We hope that you're doing well. Everyone have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.